Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody, my little buddy, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. So much more. What's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good. I'd like to win a tiebreaker in one of these tennis matches. Other than that, I'm great. Yeah.
Is it started like that?
Just tiebreaker luck goes against you sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're playing all dogs, and, you know, a couple days ago was great. It's been choppy. The first day, great. Second day, terrible. Third day, you know, 3-2 with all dogs is a really good day. Yesterday was 2-4, but you only lose a unit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this morning we have five. We have three left to go.
Before we even say
who's on the show. By the way, we will have Jensen Lewis coming up. You may know him from the show that just preceded us, By the Books. Co-host of By the Books with a lovely and talented Dave Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Jensen will join us live from Athens, Georgia. I hope he'll be situated in the ballpark by the time we get around to it.
I believe Jensen will be on the phone running to the ballpark to make it in time to call the game he has to call.
Okay, cool. We'll do that with Jensen because I want to get his thoughts on which teams benefited, which teams got the worst of it in the brackets here for the regionals. We'll do Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros? A little later on, and then Zach and Crack. You know it's a Thursday. That's what that means. Zach, our VSiN senior editor with NBA thoughts, French Open, whatever he has left in tennis, and then Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, who's coming in hot today, as is the case. Before we talk NBA, here are the three tennis plays that still remain today, one of which is a very large dog, and I don't believe it has started yet, so you can still get in on this. On the men's side, first of all, the big underdog is on the ladies' side. But on the men's side, Jacob Fearnley, +115 over Hugo Humbert, not Uga, but Hugo Humbert. Jacob Fearnley, +115, a short underdog there. Then Philippe Misolic, who sports very strong clay numbers, +146 over the Canadian Denis Shapovalov. And then the big one on the ladies' side, Elena Gabriela Rus. Elena Gabriela Russe on against Paula Badosa. Sorry, Edward Lefevre, one of our listeners who just loves himself some Paula Badosa. We all do for different reasons, but he, from a tennis standpoint, +326 on Gabriela on Elena Gabriela Russe.
Second straight match you've attacked her, right, Badosa?
That is correct. Okay. Yeah, I had Osaka, and that did not. That ended up in tears for Naomi. Yeah, she looked.
Well,
great.
You got over 3-1 on this one, so.
Yeah, no, Lady Gabriela Rus has played her well in the past on different services, and this is her best service. That's a terrible price. Badosa should be the favorite, but +326 was an auto play for me on this. So Fearnley, Misolic, and Elena Gabriela Rus. This morning we lost on Joanna Garland, a Taiwanese player. On the ladies' side, she lost the first set tiebreaker, and then she got beat in the second set by Yulia Putintseva. We are up a set with our buddy Flavio Coboli. You know Flavio Coboli.
Flavio
Coboli.
Good for him.
And we're down two sets because we just lost a tiebreaker on Gabriel Diallo on a third one. So we'll see how the day goes. Coboli up not only a set, but also a set and a break. Okay.
Gil's got so many bets in so many different sports. I don't remember the last time I had to separate you on two different graphics.
Should we do the other ones right now?
Graphics.
Should I just get them out?
Whatever you want, yeah.
Should
sure,
I just
whatever.
Vomit them
sure.
all out?
Sure.
Well, I finally pulled the trigger on the Giants under 5.5. Did that yesterday before the show. Giants under 5.5. New York Giants, by the way, under 5.5, -140 season wins. And then I did do the you can call it a chase bet if you want.
Mm.
It's a regret bet that I didn't bet the Oilers to win the cup. And so yesterday I went to old Caesars William Hill to bet Leon Draisaitl at 9-1 to win the Conn Smythe. Thinking that's still a heck of a price for a guy who has a path for sure.
Yeah.
With the Oilers trying to close out the Stars tonight, first of all, in the Western Conference Finals, to meet the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. Panthers closing out the Hurricanes last night. So I got Draisaitl. We'll see how it goes down.
Let's go. Let's go, Oilers. I've got the matchup bet that I tailed JVT on of it to be Oilers and Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. Only at like +170. I only bet it a few games ago. But yeah, let's go Oilers tonight. And then I got a little hockey money to play with if that's the case, Gil.
I didn't expect to vomit out bets at the beginning of the show, but here we are.
Yeah.
NBA last night, there's really not much to talk about. OKC, OKC Invitational is over. And guess what? OKC won it. They close out the T-Wolves 4-1. And when I mean close out, I mean, I met Chrissy for dinner, Chrissy Andrews yesterday for dinner.
Nice.
And I was at Nora's, where there's like TVs at the bar before you get to your table. And it was the first quarter. And, you know, you worry when you have dinner during a game. You're like, oh, am I going to miss something? It was already a 15-point lead in the first quarter. I was like, okay, well, I picked the right night to go out to dinner. T-Wolves led it 3-0, and that was that. OKC scored the next 11. They extended the lead to 26-9 by the end of the first quarter. That's a 17-point lead. By the way, the second quarter was a 39-23 frame, which when you do the old addition there, it's a 33-point halftime lead, Kelly. That's the first time in NBA history that a team has led by 30 at the half in three postseason games. Forget the full game.
It's wild.
It's led by 30 at the half in three playoff games.
And that is the more impressive stat than what they've done over, because what is it, four games they've won by 30?
Yes, that's insane.
Yes, it is.
That's insane. By the way, second half, second verse, same as the first. By the way, Minnesota in the first half, more turnovers.
22 points.
More turnovers than field goals made. 13 turnovers, 12 field goals made. Third quarter, OKC led by as many as 37. Minnesota ate into it to the point where they got it within 23. It's just ridiculous. So stupid. Thunder led by 26 after three. They led by as many as 39. They win it by 30, 124-94. SGA 34-7-8. Add two steals to that. And as Kelly just mentioned, it is their fourth playoff win by 30 plus points. That is the most ever in a playoff. And we still have one series to go. Not saying that they'll do it against the Pacers or Knicks, but you know, you get the idea. Fourth playoff win by 30 plus. That's the most ever. By the way, they had another win in this playoff by 26, I want to say also. So it could have been five, but we're at four right now. They are the only two teams. There's nothing to talk about with this game yesterday unless you wanted to do a, you know, a postscript on the Minnesota Timberwolves, which I'm not that excited to talk about.
They got cap problems, Gil.
They got cap problems.
Julius Randle might be on the move. Who knows?
Is that right?
I mean, this all started with the Karl Anthony Towns trade. It was looking down the road and what are financial situations going to be. So, look, they are going to be probably a different looking team next year. Obviously, you're still going to have Anthony Edwards. You still have Rudy Gobert to build around. But
do we view the cat for Julius Randle and DiVincenzo trade as a win-win, or do we view it as a meh-meh kind of thing?
I think we still have to give it a little bit more time.
Yeah, I think it's
because it was more of a financial decision by Minnesota to make that move.
So we've made the two historical notes already about the OKC, you know, having a 30-point lead three times in the playoffs, them having four wins by 30 or more already in this postseason. The only way to judge them right at this moment before we head into the finals is through history. And quite frankly, through betting history. Again, they are 80. If you add up their regular season record and their playoff record thus far, they are 80-18. 80-18, 68-14 in the regular season, and so far 12-4. Remember, Denver beat them three times. So far, the Nuggets are looking great in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the 80 wins that the Thunder is heading into the NBA Finals with, only the 72-win Bulls of 95-96 and the 73-win regular season Warriors. In other words, the two greatest regular season teams of all time. Bulls won the championship. Warriors did not, famously, when the Cavs caught them down 3-1 in the finals. Those are the only teams that have come into a finals with more wins than these Thunder.
It's ridiculous.
That's incredible. From a betting standpoint, though, this is from our buddy Blake over at Sports Odds History, at SO History. Kelly put this together this morning. So the Thunder right now are installed, without really installed.
Right now, they're minus 750, because this will shift a little bit.
It will shift a little bit. It's hypothetical still, so it's not installed. You know, you can't bet anything until it's installed, right, Kelly? I don't know if you know that. Right now, this is where they shape up versus historically huge NBA final series prices. And again, they are in rare air. No pun intended, but it is those 95-96 Bulls, the one that won 72 games, went 72-10. At the time, it was a record for best record. The Bulls were minus 950 that year. And if you recall, that was the year that they started 41-3. It's just so silly. 41-3, they started that season.
A Jordan guy was pretty good.
He's pretty good. And they beat the Sonics that year in the finals, if you remember, 4-2. Remember, they were up 3-0. Sonics won 2, and then they closed them out. The 99 Spurs, this is the lockout season where they had to change it from an 82-game schedule to a 50-game schedule. The Spurs went 37-13. They beat the Knicks, if you recall, in the finals. The Spurs were -900. They were $9 heading into that series. So the 96 Bulls were -950 against the Sonics pre-flop. The Spurs were $9 against the Knicks in the lockout year of 99. And then it was the Shaq Kobe Lakers back to back to back. 2000, 2001, 2002. The 2000 team was an $8 favorite. That was the team that ended up being the beating the Pacers in six. That was a 67-15 Lakers team that beat the Pacers in six. The 2000-2001 Lakers were the biggest favorite of them all. Peak Shaq Kobe. The regular season record wasn't as good as the previous year, but remember they had injuries that year, particularly with Derek Fisher. This was the team that swept the Sixers.
Yeah, this was AI and nobody else versus AI.
They took one game. That was the famous walkover Tyronn Lue series.
Took game one.
That's right. Iverson walking over Lue, but then the Lakers just smacked him down. The 2001-2002 Lakers were -750. That team, less known for their sweep of the Nets in the finals than they were for getting the controversial Game 6 win over the Kings.
In the Western Conference Finals.
Then it was the 2017-2018 Warriors, which, by the way, they were -1075. That was the Warriors team that swept the Cavs. That was not the out-of-nowhere Warriors in 2015, or out-of-nowhere to most. That was not the 73-win Warriors team. That was not the KD Warriors team that went 16-1 in the playoffs. That was the 2018 Warriors that were -1075. And then these Thunder, -750, at least for now, stacking up against that historical, just genius of all those teams. Coming back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Greg Peterson's MLB picks, Pacers Knicks Game 5 best bets, and Lou Finicaro's UFC Vegas 107 picks. And later today you can check out Steve Mackinnon's Cracker Barrel 400 NASCAR simulation. I know you're going to check that out a little later on the website.
Always.
Oiler Stars Game 5 preview tonight, Tyler Shoemaker's WNBA picks. Right now you can sign up for our annual subscription, get 14 months for only $199, that's with promo code PRO, P-R-O, Kelly, PRO. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. It's not often that we get a guy who was just doing a show, just co-hosting a show right before us, who's now on the road to the ballpark to do his other job, which is covering college baseball.
But I'm sure we're not interrupting his day at all.
No, I'm sure we're not. He's like, I'll be available Thursday. And then we're like, I'm like, are you at the ballpark? He's like, I'm just a guy in the car. Jensen Lewis, co-host of By the Books with the great Dave Ross, joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You, of course, can see him every day here on the network on By the Books, which precedes us. Follow him on Twitter, by the way. Give him a follow at JLew50, J-L-E-W, and then spell out the word 50. How you doing, Jensen? What's going on?
I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate it. A little rain here in Athens today for workout day, but looks like everything should be good to go tomorrow afternoon. High noon here. We get one of the first games on the field of 64 between Georgia and Binghamton, and then we'll be on the Deuce on ESPN2 tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern, for Duke and Oklahoma State. So if you guys like home runs, if you like a lot of runs, period, this is the regional for you. There's going to be four of the top 80 offenses as far as home runs are concerned in this regional. So the pitcher in me is duck and cover, but excited to see some offensive explosions, to say the least.
I'm just curious. Let's have a conversation out loud that we shouldn't have out loud. But what was the region that you would have wanted to go to the most in terms of just, you know, travel and just the bracket of four versus the worst? Does Athens rank pretty high on that list for you?
Anytime you get back to SEC country, Gil, it's always great. The hospitality, the people, I mean, the fervor for it, it has really escalated. I would even say in the last 5 to 6 years, it's not to what SEC football is yet, week in and week out. But I mean, you don't go anywhere, you know, here without people talking about it and being excited for it. So it is a way of life. I know the moniker is that it just means more. It does here in SEC country. So if I had my druthers, that's an easy answer. I'd love to go to Nashville and see my Vanderbilt Commodores. But this one was intriguing for sure, just because as a top eight national seed, you know, Georgia number 7 overall in the bracket. So they basically control their own destiny, guys. They win this regional, they will host the winner of the Oxford regional, who's the number 10 seed on the other side.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so before we get to your thoughts on or bets region by region or overall to win the College World Series, which clubs were helped or hurt the most by the way these were grouped, in your opinion?
LSU is the easy one that was helped. And I had Dallas Baptist last year in the Tucson Regional. They were the 2 seed there when Arizona was the 1 seed. West Virginia was the 3 and Grand Canyon was the 4. And we kind of looked at that iteration as the region of death in World Cup terminology, because it was really a very evenly matched region with the prowess and some of the major league prospects. If you guys remember, J.J. Weatherholt, who was a shortstop for West Virginia last year, got taken the first round by the St. Louis Cardinals, and a couple of great frontline rotation pieces in both Arizona and Dallas Baptist. So the way that it shakes out for the Baton Rouge regional, and knowing that you've got DBU, you got Rhode Island, and then also just seeing that, you know, it's basically one of the best betting spots, or at least one of the heaviest favorites, LSU, if they'll face Little Rock in their first game today. Gil, I don't know if there's any other region there where you kind of look, maybe outside of Fayetteville for Arkansas, but I think those two regionals pretty much odds-on favorites to be the easiest for the top seeds.
All right, is there a region bet that you like to win, region bet that you like more than others, or a couple of those?
I would look to the L.A. Regional, and I would look at UC Irvine, who I actually really like today in their first matchup. I think you can find them at $1.05 on DraftKings right now for their opening contest. They are about as well-rounded, Gil, a team as it gets, that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of here on the East Coast, or maybe overall. I think they're very live to win that region. And maybe even more so, depending on where you shop and where you find the prices, their number to win the national championship, I would jump on right now. If nothing more than hedge opportunities, I think if there's a team that may surprise people nationally that don't follow the sport with regularity, I would certainly look at UC Irvine in the LA region for sure.
UC Irvine. Kelly, write it down frantically, as am I, in the L.A. region. Anything else region by region, or you want to go to the full College World Series here? And how many bets? Now, here's the thing, Jensen. I don't know if you know this. You're developing a reputation here for firing. You are a guy who is not shy to make bets. How many teams do you have bets on to win the College World Series?
I don't have any, just for my ESPN duties here and staying away from that. But if I do have recommendations for people, I know you and I have talked.
Yes.
That Vanderbilt number has come way down since it was at 22-1 a couple of weeks ago. So still, you know, a viable team that if you want to jump in, a team that's going to be there. I know you like Texas. Northeastern, I think your number on them. And for people that don't know the story there, the epic win streak, 27, 28 wins in a row that Northeastern has. And they have the best pitching staff by ERA entering the field of 64. So a very intriguing team right there, no question about it. Overall, I think Florida State has got a little bit of an uptick for them in where their region is. Tennessee should be okay out of the Knoxville regional, although Cincinnati plays a bit of a different style of baseball. We know Wake Forest has had the pedigree of years past, but I think Tennessee should be fine. Some upsets for you today, though, if you're looking for maybe some ones that could get across the line. Creighton, who I just had in the Big East Championship for their tournament, I like them at plus money against Kansas today. Would also look at East Carolina against Florida. Now, I know Florida has been a team that a lot of people have looked at to potentially win that Conway regional down in Coastal Carolina. But I wouldn't be shocked if Cliff Godwin's crew and company got out with an early upset. I think you can find them plus 230, maybe plus 250 in some spots. So a couple of early game ones today in the early window that I would target as well.
Ooh, I like it. Okay. Again, to repeat those, and we'll have these on the Beeson Picks page, and we'll recap them at the end of the show. Creighton plus money versus Kansas and East Carolina. versus Florida. Can I ask you a couple MLB questions before we let you go here,
sure.
Jensen? One, have you looked at June yet? William Hill Caesars put these out already. They were out a couple days ago. I was told by Circa that they're going to effort to put this out today. I don't know if they know that. I don't know if they know that it's April 29th, or excuse me, May 29th. But they're going to try today. Have you looked at it, and have you made any bets at William Hill Caesars, or are you thinking at Caesars, or are you thinking about firing on some?
Yeah, I am definitely, Gil, thinking about firing. I know Dave and I talked about it the final hour of our show today. I was a bit shocked that Atlanta was 11-1 just with how – Gil, I think it's one of the tougher schedules, and I couldn't believe that they were the third betting choice there at Caesars at that number. I was also a bit more shocked, too, that the best team in the American League record-wise in Detroit was 22-1. For whatever reason, I don't want to get in front of that freight train the way they're going. They feel real good about themselves. So that was an intriguing pick for me. Also the Arizona Diamondbacks, for whatever reason, they've had a Cincinnati Red syndrome of kind of not beating teams they should. But I think that it's got to be on the precipice of them putting some things together. I love Corbin Carroll, the way he's playing so far this year. So I think that number was intriguing, upwards of 15, maybe 17-1, somewhere in that range. So those were initials. I'm probably coming back tonight after media day here and diving in a bit further. We'll probably have some plays into tomorrow.
Yeah, I do, and I think you guys do this as well. Last month I did. Here are the five teams I considered, and then I ended up picking the Padres. By the way, three of those five are right at the top right now. But I have considered four teams. I'm considering four teams. And I ended up making a bet on one. I'm not going to say it until Circa puts their numbers out. But one of the ones I considered that didn't play, I will talk about that, is the Diamondbacks, who you just mentioned, right? Who I want to do it, but it's like that bullpen, Jensen, you're a bullpen guy. They are really not good, right? Are we seeing this correctly?
You are, and that's the hard part too, right? You're looking at just this market for that month, and you hope it lines up from a scheduling perspective where it favors you anyway, let alone the recent form, if you will. So you're right to have trepidation about that unit. And again, I've known Torrey Lovello a long time. If there's anyone that can steer the ship well through inconsistency, it's him. And so it just feels like that right time that maybe a couple of days here, getting to the end of this month and starting anew, that might be a team at double digits that looks pretty good.
All right, Jensen, I appreciate it. No time to ask you the other question, which is, are bettors crazy to just fade the Rockies every single day?
You're not crazy.
Not crazy, yeah. We'll get to that next time. Jensen, enjoy your time down there, and we'll talk to you often during this run to the College World Series.
Likewise. Thank you.
Jensen Lewis, everybody, at JLouFitty. Not 50, but 50,
Next time when we have more time, I want to know about the worst pitch he ever threw, too.
With Josh Towers, it was like he threw Barry Bonds, I think it's 747th home run. And I can just say, and now the man who threw, but Jensen didn't do
story,
that.
Great story, man.
Jensen didn't do that. Are We Sure? Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. It's the sharp plays. They also have AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check them out at sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. I'm going to Ron Burgundy through some of these here. Ready? This is always a put on my evil Knievel helmet and Ron Burgundy through them. Just metaphors.
Producer Kelly's not listening.
Let's see. NC I-95 Gambler, continuing the pizza talk. Want to know what they offer with pizza anytime you buy it in Mexico? Ketchup, he says. I'm Mexican-American. I have no idea where they got that from. Ketchup, he says.
Okay.
Right.
I was in a joint in Colorado once, up in one of them skiing towns. I don't remember which one. But they had some kind of special crust, but it was served like honey and hot honey with their pizza.
Yeah.
So it was like spicy honey and then like regular honey that you could dip the crust in.
Christina,
that was the most interesting one I've ever had.
Honey, interesting.
Yeah.
I like it. A little savory and
sweet.
Yeah,
it was good. It was different.
You know what Chrissy and I got yesterday at Nora's?
Salami pizza.
Salami pizza,
which
baby.
Is just, which, as I told Gil when we had it, I was like, this, if you gave the full description of the pizza, I would have been much more intrigued by it because it's salami, pepperoni, ricotta, and some mushrooms.
Yes.
I ate 86 mushrooms, but I feel like as I'm getting older, Ricotta needs to go on every pizza
ricotta
that I have.
Is key.
Love ricotta cheese.
Chris Heath, my econ final was the aftermath of the NBA lockout. Most focused effort I can remember on a school assignment. I got a C. I love Chrissy. Desert Dude. He said, is there a good source for monthly MLB win-loss records? My attempt to find or use AI to generate has failed. Obviously, you can watch a numbers game every day, and we update them every day. But to answer your question, StatMuse has a way to get them up. You have to do a query, though, like a certain wording with it. And then Baseball Reference has a very sort of convoluted way of calling them up. But those two sites have it. It's just not straightforward.
Yeah, I like the tweet said, I would be careful with some of the AI stuff and StatMuse even, right? Because it's very specific how you need to word that information.
How many do you think Allen Iverson's life has been thrown into a tizzy with all the AI stuff where he's like, oh, they're not talking about me. Like every time he has to think is, oh, they're not talking about me again. Oh, no, that's not. You hate AI? Why do you hate? Oh, it's AI. You're talking about that.
Oh, that took me way too long.
Yeah. Brandon Kyles, Pittsburgh checking in. Definitely not just a Southern thing. Ranch on pizza staple here as well. Keynote, it's important to ask if it's house made. If not, then politely decline. All right. Zach Cohen joins us. He's never put ranch on his pizza. I can promise you that. Zach Cohen at Betting on X, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. Senior writer and editor here. What's happening, Zach?
Not much. I will put ranch on like a buffalo slice or something.
Yeah, okay. Well, that checks out.
I was wrong. All right, Zach, any tennis for you remaining today that has not started?
Yes, I have a Jacob Fernley plus 112 against Hugo Humbert, and that's a match where I've been looking to fade Humbert. He has been playing with a broken hand over the last 2 months, and he did just get all of the wrapping off that hand, but he said that it's been bothering still a little bit in France. And I do think this is a match where Fernley's a college player, a highly decorated college player, should be ready for, you know, the raucous atmosphere in Paris. And I think that that's something that really matters. And I also will say that Humbert, as good as he is, has struggled on clay throughout his career. That serve of his, which is a huge weapon, becomes a little bit less of a weapon when the courts are a little bit slower. And Fernley should be able to take advantage of that.
You and I are both on Jacob Fernley. We are simpatico. Both of us are on Fearnley. Fearnley is one of the ones I don't have yet to start, and the other one was Misolic. Haven't started that match yet either.
These do start very soon, though, for anybody out there looking to
they
bet.
They do. Kelly's good on that. And by the way, we have a set point for Elena Gabriela Rus. Set point, up 5-2.
Is that the 3-1 dog?
That's the 3.5-1 dog.
Let's go.
What could possibly go wrong?
I'm sure
Zach?
You'll be fine.
What could possibly go wrong? Anything else or just that one? Just Fairly left?
I need Misolic to win a set as to close out a parlay where I took three players to win sets. And then tomorrow, my big play will be Karen Khachanov to beat Tommy Paul, which I don't feel good about doing that. Love backing the Americans. But Paul is dealing with an abdomen injury, and I thought it was visible during his match with Martin Fucsovics last round. And I think that Karen's just a little bit better, a little bit higher of a level. If you are dealing with something you're not 100%, it's going to be really hard to beat him.
Kelly is scared to say Tommy Paul's opponent from yesterday. You want to give it a shot, Kelly Martin?
Oh, no, not at all.
He's scared.
Not at all.
He thinks
he's censor him.
Because I've joked around about it too many times. I'm going to say it the bad way.
Okay. To the NBA, we were putting OKC in historical context, and we're doing it so much, we've almost neglected to talk about Game 5 tonight back at MSG at Madison Square Garden. Knicks and Pacers. Knicks trying to stave off elimination. Pacers trying to knock them out and set up what will be an NBA Finals, a network nightmare NBA Finals between OKC and Indiana. But for bettors, we don't care. We're going to bet on it. But it's still going to, by the way, if they do close them out today, it's a week before the NBA Finals start. NBA Finals locked in stone on June 5th. What is your play tonight right now? The Knicks, 4.5-point favorites, 222.5 the total.
I took 5 with the Pacers. I don't know if I'd play it at 4 or 4.5. I think I'd wait a little bit closer to tip. And if you can't get a 5, maybe buy to 5. It's just an important number in the NBA. But I will say, I just can't understand why Indiana's getting this many points. I know this is kind of a zigzag spot. It's a desperation spot for the Knicks. Their season is on the line. I just feel like the Pacers have been the much better team for 3 games now. And I know, you know, New York won that game 3 where they came back from 20 points. I don't think that they were the better team in that game. I think think New York was the better team in game one. But I do think that we've seen the Pacers be the better team for three games in a row. Their offensive rating in this series alone is better than the Cavaliers, which was the league best offensive rating during the regular season. I don't think that this Knicks team can guard them, and I think that the Pacers are getting better and better at attacking Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns as this series progresses. So it's just hard for me to see the Knicks coming up with enough stops to, you know, win this game comfortably.
Okay. And then as far as like hypothetical NBA Finals matchups, what is your stance on? So if it's, let's take OKC versus Indiana, since obviously Indiana up 3-1, more likely to happen. Obviously, series is not over, but you know how it goes with 3-1 deficits. It's only happened 13 times in the history of the NBA. 8 of those were with teams that had home court for games 5 and 7, though. So the Knicks do have at least that much of a glimmer. Do you believe these hypotheticals that we are throwing up on the screen right now? Thunder $8 versus the Pacers, Thunder $7 versus the Knicks. Do you think those are about where you'd have them? And then how would you project it? Like, you know, we were just talking about if either of these two teams could take 2 games off of the Thunder based on the historical comps that we just had with pre-flop NBA finals prices for some of the biggest of all time, where the Thunder are in that sort of conversation, that would be an accomplishment based on how those finals went. Where do you stand on all of this?
Yeah, it feels like really inflated prices, but I will say, like, the Thunder are terrible matchups for both of these teams. I would have said before the Knicks-Pacers series that New York had a better shot. Now, having seen a team really just kind of be successful attacking Towns and Brunson, that's kind of provided a blueprint for, I think, the Thunder to do the same if they were to meet with the Knicks. And I do think that Brunson looks exhausted in this series. I don't know if it's something that would continue after a week off, but he's looked really tired. He's been getting in foul trouble. He's been unreliable late in games. They would not be able to have any of that against the Thunder, where they would need him to be, you know, going head-to-head or toe-to-toe with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander late in crunch time. So I don't really think that they have a shot. Pacers, it's another really tough matchup because Indiana, we have not really seen it in this series. They are soft on the glass. I mean, they are, you know, capable of being pushed around. Miles Turner is a good rim protector, a good three-point shooter, not a good rebounder. Pascal Siakam is an undersized power forward. The Thunder would be able to bully them on the boards, and they'd be able to, you know, bully them defensively the way that we've seen through 3 rounds now. They are very physical on defense. They get away with it. That would really bother the Pacers, especially Tyrese Haliburton, who, as good as he was in game 4 against the Knicks, can, you know, struggle with physicality. It's just really hard to see them consistently scoring, but I would give Indiana a better shot than New York of winning 2 games just because of the shot making and the way they run that offense.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Okay, before we let you go here, because you got to run here, give us a team. And obviously we don't know, because we don't know who's going where at this point. But just the way too early, don't have all the betting numbers. Obviously, we don't have season win totals out. We don't have anything like that. But give us a team that you have in your mind that you're like, okay, I'm prepared for the market to highly underrate this team or to highly overrate it, generally speaking. Is there a team or teams in your head?
I actually wrote up title odds like 2 weeks ago before, you know, kind of trying to forecast what's going to happen this summer. There were some really good value plays on the board for me. I think that Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston, the 3 Texas teams, all are really good bets to win the finals next year. I know that Kyrie Irving is going to be out the first half of next season, but once he's back, when Cooper Flagg is in the mix, that team is going to be awesome on both ends of the floor. The Rockets are a team that we know is great defensively. They can deal with depth and acquire a star, whether that's, you know, Giannis or Kevin Durant. They can improve their offense. And the Spurs, I really do think they're going to get Giannis. I do not see them making that second selection in the draft. I think Dylan Harper is a great player. I've spoken to Kelly and JVT about this. He does not fit with Fox and Castle. Like, they have the perfect opportunity to now swoop in and try to get a superstar.
All right. NBA draft June 25th. We'll see how many betting offerings we have with that. It seems to increase every year, but we'll see what it's like when it shakes out here as the draft approaches. Zach, appreciate it. Good luck with the tennis the rest of the day, man.
You too.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X. Crack on the other side. Numbers game at VSiN.